In today's news headlines, the highly anticipated culmination of peace talks between the United States and Afghanistan's Taliban abruptly ended in disarray over the weekend after President Donald Trump announced in a series of tweets on Saturday that he had planned a secret meeting with the Taliban and Afghan President Ashraf Ghani at Camp David, but then canceled that meeting. He wrote, quote, "Unbeknownst to almost everyone, the major Taliban leaders and separately the president of Afghanistan were going to secretly meet with me at Camp David on Sunday. They were coming to the United States tonight." Trump then added, "Unfortunately, in order to build false leverage, they admitted to an attack in Kabul that killed one of our great, great soldiers and 11 other people. I immediately canceled the meeting and called off peace negotiations." End of quote. A day later, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, speaking on ABC with host George Stephanopoulos, attempted to explain the president's logic.
In the end, this will be resolved through a series of conversations. I hope the Taliban will agree to meet with the Afghan government. President Ghani
asked
for
that. They say the jihad's going to continue. They just put out a statement.
Yeah, we'll see. Let me assure you, America's capacity to protect our nation from a terror attack ever emanating from that place again, that effort will continue.
The proposed deal included a withdrawal of more than 5,000 U.S. troops within 135 days of the signing of an agreement. Does this collapse put any U.S. pullout on hold?
The president hasn't yet made a decision on that. We'll be talking about that in the coming days.
That's Mike Pompeo discussing the collapse of U.S.-Taliban peace talks. Meanwhile, the New York Times revealed the inside story of how the plan to invite the Taliban onto U.S. soil just days before the anniversary of the 9/11 attacks happened. According to the paper, Mr. Trump would not only bring the Taliban to Washington, but to Camp David, the crown jewel of the American presidency, the leaders of a rugged militant organization deemed terrorists by the United States, would be hosted in the mountain getaway used for presidents, prime ministers, and kings just 3 days before the anniversary of the September 11th, 2001 attacks that led to the Afghan war. The paper said what would have been one of the biggest headline-grabbing moments of his tenure was put together on the spur of the moment and then canceled on the spur of the moment. The usual National Security Council process was dispensed with. Only a small circle of advisors was even clued in. End of quote. The U.S. Congress is back in session on Monday, and the House Judiciary Committee immediately announced it would vote on Thursday on the rules for impeachment hearings. The House Intelligence Committee also jumped into high gear, saying it would be investigating President Trump's efforts to force Ukraine to meddle in the 2020 election, based on public statements made by Trump's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani. Other investigations of Trump's recent doings include a move by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, to investigate why some of its staff backed the president on an incorrect assessment of Hurricane Dorian's path. The incident is being referred to as Sharpiegate for the crudely drawn line on a map that Trump showed to press to make the false claim that the state of Alabama was in the hurricane's path. When the National Weather Service contradicted the president, someone at the NOAA insisted that the president and not the NWS was correct. There is now a firestorm of opposition within the government agencies over what they see as dangerous politicization of their work. And the U.S. Air Force will be investigating why some of its staff have been staying at Trump's financially struggling golf resort in Scotland. In election-related news, Republican Mark Sanford, former governor of South Carolina, has announced his challenge of Mr. Trump for the Republican presidential nomination. The states of Nevada, Arizona, and Kansas, and Mr. Sanford's own home state, have announced they plan to cancel their primary elections and caucuses in a shocking show of deference to the Trump presidency. Meanwhile, on the Democratic front, the New York Times analyzed how progressive candidate Elizabeth Warren has spent years wooing wealthy donors to her presidential campaign, up until recently when she disavowed taking money from wealthy elites. But she didn't return the very large nest egg she built up from big donors and has instead been spending the tainted cash. Four of the top technological companies in the U.S., Amazon, Apple, Facebook, and Google, are facing possible charges of antitrust violations by a growing number of states, including New York. Among the charges are whether Amazon favors its own products, if Apple leans towards its own apps on its app store, how Facebook has consolidated social media platforms, and what's behind Google's search engine results. And the group China Labor Watch just released a report focusing on how Apple and its China-based manufacturing partner Foxconn is violating a large number of labor rights. A new poll by the Washington Post and ABC News on gun violence has found that 51% of the public trusts Congress to overhaul the nation's gun laws, compared to only 36% who trust President Trump on the issue. According to the Post, 86% of Americans support implementing red flag provisions, which allow guns to be taken from people judged to be a danger to themselves or others. And 89% support expanding federal background checks to cover private sales and gun show transactions. Both measures are supported by at least 8 in 10 Republicans, white evangelical Christians, members of gun-owning households, and other traditionally conservative groups. Although there is the predictable partisan divide of Democrats leaning toward greater gun control over Republicans, independent voters are siding much more with Democrats on this issue. Politico published an explosive expose of evangelical leader Jerry Falwell Jr., who leads the world's largest Christian college, Liberty University. According to journalist Brandon Ambranzino, Falwell, who is a major backer of President Trump, presides over a culture of self-dealing, directing university resources into projects and real estate deals in which his friends and family have stood to make personal financial gains. One senior official said, quote, "We're not educating. We're buying real estate every year and taking students' money to do it." In international news, outrage is building over how a U.S. ferry carrying hundreds of Bahamian refugees fleeing the devastation of Hurricane Dorian were prevented from entering the U.S. because they did not have a U.S. visa. The U.S. Customs and Border Protection is claiming that the decision to demand visas was made by the private company operating the ferry and not a U.S. government entity. In Hong Kong, protesters once more confronted their government over the weekend, in spite of Chief Executive Carrie Lam withdrawing a controversial China extradition treaty. Media outlets described how some protesters sang the Star Spangled Banner, carried U.S. flags, and called on President Trump to, quote, liberate Hong Kong from China's domination. Clashes between police and protesters also continued, as one prominent protester, Joshua Wong, found himself arrested after returning from Taiwan. And finally, on the latest in the Brexit saga in Britain, House of Commons Speaker John Bercow has announced his resignation. According to the BBC, Bercow says he will stand down as Commons Speaker and MP at the next election or on 31st October, whichever comes first. Meanwhile, as one of its last formal actions before it's forced to go into recess, the British Parliament passed a law requiring that Britain enter into an agreement with the European Union before the October 31st deadline. Prime Minister Boris Johnson, who has forced Parliament into recess, promised to meet the requirements of the law, but provided no details. Johnson met with Irish Prime Minister Leo Varadkar, who is deeply worried about the border with Northern Ireland, which would be upended by no-deal Brexit. And that does it for our news headlines today.